This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's top news and 3 days and three failures for Senate Democrats to begin debate on their version of financial reform. The Democrats are trying to get the debate started, but they need 60 votes to do so. And so far, all Republicans and Nebraska Democrat Ben Nelson have blocked that from happening, because they say the Democrats have not engaged in good faith efforts to incorporate very important Republican ideals into the bill. First and foremost on that list, of course, is the idea of a $50 billion fund, which Democrats say is for emergencies in order to ward off another 2008 where the financial industry teetered on the brink of collapse. Republicans say it's the establishment of a permanent bailout culture funded by the U.S. taxpayer. Obviously, different perspectives on what's happening right now. Following the third straight failure to get debate going on this bill, Democratic leader Harry Reid.
All the talk of the Republicans about wanting to do something about this bill before it gets on the floor is really anti-Senate, anti-American. They keep stalling, and they keep stalling. And it appears that they're more concerned about taking care of the fat cats in Wall Street than they are the people who aren't so fat.
Speaking of the fat cats on Wall Street, Utah Republican Senator Orrin Hatch telling MSNBC earlier in the day that he finds it interesting that the man being portrayed as the villain in the Goldman Sachs scandal loves the Democratic version of financial reform.
I was interested in Lloyd Blankfein's comment the other day. He said that Wall Street, the greatest beneficiary of this reform bill will be Wall Street. Now, why are we doing a bill that's supposed to put Wall Street in order, and yet they're going to benefit more than anybody else?
Senator Hatch also says he finds it interesting that there's a glaring omission in this Democratic version of reform.
Why aren't Fannie and Freddie in this bill? That's where it all started. That's where it all began. They ran us right into the ground with all those bad mortgages and so forth, yet they just completely conveniently ignore them. Why is that? Because Fannie and Freddie have been a sinecure for the Democratic Party.
Oh, but the Fannie and Freddie problem is addressed in a way in the new legislation. It may not be referred to directly, but right there in the text of the bill are the same provisions which led to the mortgage crisis in the first place. The government forcing banks to literally seek out people in low-income situations who have almost no hope of paying off their mortgages. And then the government will back up the banks if, in fact, those folks can't meet their mortgage payments. Much more on that as the week goes forward. Other Republicans speaking out today included the leader, Mitch McConnell, who says the wrong people are being punished in the Democratic version of this legislation.
I mean, does anyone really believe that the people who make Harley Davidsons and Snickers bars are responsible for the financial crisis? Does anyone think that? Then why would we want to punish them in our effort to hold Wall Street accountable? These are just the kinds of unintended consequences you get from rushing legislation.
The Senate leader for the Republicans also says he wants a clarification on just who's a part of the consumer financial industry.
I got a question. Does having a credit card make you a person operating in consumer financial service markets? What if you sell something on eBay and someone pays you with their credit card through PayPal? Does that make you someone operating in consumer financial consumer financial service market? Does that make you operating in that market? I'm sure it's not the intent of the chairman to give the government the authority to collect personal financial information on Kentuckians who use PayPal, but why not make it clear?
President Obama's not in Washington right now. He's been in the Midwest the past couple of days in Iowa, Illinois, and Missouri, but he's still wading into debate, saying he finds it unconscionable that Senate Republicans would not even allow the debate to begin.
For the second time in 24 hours, Senate Republicans unanimously blocked efforts to even begin debating reform. I'm not even asking them to vote for the bill. I just want to let them debate it. It's one thing to oppose reform, but to oppose just even talking about reform in front of the American people and having a legitimate debate, that's not right.
Oh, no, you don't, Mr. President. That's the message that South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint explained to me earlier on Wednesday. He says there was a very good bipartisan deal about to happen on this issue till President Obama obliterated it.
I've never seen a committee working together in a more bipartisan way. We'd actually had paired up Republican and Democrat working on different sections, some working on derivatives and some working on how to resolve failing companies. I thought we were moving towards a good bill until Chris Dodd went to the White House and the president essentially said he wants this new government agency in the Federal Reserve that they call consumer protection, but what it is a takeover of the financial and credit system.
And the senator told me that he thinks that's exactly the Obama agenda on this and many other issues, including health care. More power for the government, not necessarily solving real problems.
This seems to be the president's way. It's not about fixing the problem, just like with health care. It's about getting more federal control over something. And in this case, it is really going to hurt the ability of American companies to do business and be competitive globally. So we know it'll affect jobs. But the president is the one who put the kibosh on working together. And now he's trying to use the mainstream media to confuse the American people. The fact is, I think he thinks Americans are stupid, and he's going to play this out until he gets a headline in every paper that Republicans are obstructionists. The fact is, he's the one who's obstruction real bipartisanship.
To hear my full conversation with Senator DeMint, please head to dateline.radioamerica.org or worldnetdaily.com. While you're there, you can catch my interview also with Louisiana Congressman John Fleming, who's also a doctor. He is spearheading legislation to deny funding to the Internal Revenue Service to hire the more than 16,000 additional agents that would be required to verify in a couple of years' time whether or not Americans are abiding by the new health care mandate to buy government-approved coverage. He says if you cut off the funding for the agents, then the mandate will soon no longer be a real threat to the American people. Also today, the immigration debate once again hot and heavy, with New Jersey Democratic Senator Robert Menendez saying it's unconscionable that people in Arizona might have to prove that they are legally there.
Arizona has become the show me your paper state. And if I was a citizen of Arizona, or if I were visiting in Arizona, the only papers I would intend to show is the Constitution of the United States that says that I have rights as a citizen and that I am not a second-class citizen in this country.
But in a conversation I had earlier on Wednesday with Jim Corey, Vice President of the National Association of Chiefs of Police, he says profiling is a part of police work in every way, shape, and form. He says racial profiling is only when you target specific members of a race simply because they're of that race, not because there's any reason to suspect that they may have committed a crime. He says in this case, profiling would be absolutely applicable to the new laws about to take effect in Arizona. Mr. Corey also says that the job for police will be much more difficult to determine who is there illegally, thanks to former Governor Janet Napolitano.
Now, Arizona is at a disadvantage because thanks to Janet Napolitano, illegal aliens in Arizona can get driver's licenses. She talked out of both sides of her mouth when she was the governor there.
Corey referring to the fact that Napolitano also sent troops to the border at one point during her term as governor before she was named Secretary of Homeland Security. But he says she was very much up front in supporting driver's licenses for illegals. Finally today, a major court win for the VFW and for religious freedom. The Supreme Court voting 5-4 to basically force a lower court to solve the problem of the Veterans Memorial Cross in the Mojave Desert. Justice Kennedy, writing for the majority, said that just because there is a ban on establishing a state religion doesn't mean you can't have religious symbols on public property. The veterans of foreign wars also very happy.
This memorial is not a cross in the religious sense. It was not erected as a cross in the religion sense. It is no more religious than the nation's second highest medal for bravery, the Air Force Cross, the Navy Cross, and the Distinguished Service Cross.
For more information on this story, catch my interview with Joe Infranco of the Alliance Defense Fund at worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus.